And it really does make the point, doesn't it? So many times we rush through November on our way to December, and we forget that there's a holiday that takes place long before we ever get to Christmas. And it is Thanksgiving, a uniquely American holiday, a day set aside to show and express our gratitude for all the abundance and blessings that we have enjoyed over the years. And that's why I want us to spend this month looking together at what it means to be grateful to a great God. Here's the main thing I want to remind you of as we anticipate this coming holiday, as we walk through Psalm 18 over the next few Sundays. I want us to remember what Thanksgiving is about. If we're not careful, even when we begin to talk about Thanksgiving, we can kind of get things off kilter. So that when we talk about what Thanksgiving means, you say something like this: well, I am thankful for my family, I am thankful for my food, I am thankful for my home, I'm thankful for God's provisions, I'm thankful for my health, I'm thankful for all of the things that God has done for me. But here's the thing I want us to remember in the month to come. We should always remember, Thanksgiving is not about what we are grateful for. It is about who we are grateful to. Thanksgiving is about our attitude toward the Lord. It's not really about, God, thank you for my stuff. Thank you for what I can hold in my hands and those things I can enjoy for myself. It is about the fact that I serve a God who has been so gracious to me that my only response can be gratitude. You see, the cultivation of a grateful faith is part of every believer's growth. If we're really going to know the Lord and serve the Lord and follow the Lord the way we're supposed to, that means that part of it is recognizing the value of a grateful relationship with a loving Lord. That's why the 18th Psalm is so important, because King David offers a particularly important song of thanksgiving to God that reminds us of who He is and what He has done and the promises He has made to His own and why we should be grateful to our great God. So let's take a few moments. We're going to begin the walking through this psalm together with these first three verses that we read with one another a few moments ago, and we're going to discover what the Lord has to say about why you can be grateful. The first thing I would say is this: remember, you can be grateful for a personal relationship with the Lord. Why should I be grateful to God? Because I know Him, and I trust Him, and I follow Him, and He is there for me. David said it this way. He said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. What an astounding thing to be able to say, I love you, Lord. Not, I respect you. Not, I revere you. Not even, I trust you. David said, I love you, Lord. And you can tell Him the same thing. You are invited to be in a one-on-one relationship with Christ. It is worship, but it is so much more. Nobody ever thought about saying those words to God back in David's time. It was an astounding thing for David to feel like he could say, I love you, Lord, because in the Old Testament particularly, but in biblical days, nobody really thought it was possible to address the Lord in that kind of personal manner. Nobody would ever say to God Almighty, I love you, Lord. Lord, I love you because of who you are and what you mean to my life. I love you and I lift you up and I honor you and I praise you. Those kinds of things were never said. You would never be that personal with God Almighty. It would be like somebody walking up to the President of the United States and saying something like, well, how's it going, President, old buddy, old pal? How you doing these days? Times a million. And that's what it was like to be personal with God. So how does the Lord feel about you being so personal with Him? Well, the answer lies in the one that initiates the relationship, and it's Him. He's the one who reaches out to you and says, I want you. I want you to know me. I want you to follow me. I want you to trust me with all of your heart. You can know him and depend upon him. And yes, you can love him. What a powerful thing to know. I can be in a personal relationship with the one who made it all. With the one who designed that universe that is 93 million light years from one side to the other. And my world is a speck and less than a speck in the vastness of the universe. And I'm just a tiny thing that lasts for just a little while on this place that is a speck in the vastness of the universe, except for this. God Almighty knows who you are. And he cares for you. What a phenomenal thing. And not only does he care for you, he says to you, I want you to know me. I want you to know me deeply and personally. I want you to trust me and follow me. And we are able to say to God Almighty, I love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for me. But here's the thing. Loving God is about your feelings, but not just your feelings. It's more than an emotional response to his presence. Love for God means living to please him. When David said, I love you, Lord, what he was saying was, I want my life to be lifted up to you. I want people to look at me and see someone who has been in the presence of God, who knows him in a personal way. And I live to please him. Because, you know, that's a whole part of it, isn't it? When you really love somebody, you want to please somebody. You don't want them to just know you have feelings about them. They want to know that you have actions that matter. This is how I love my wife. I tell her. I show her. I give her gifts. I spend time with her. She knows I want to please her. She also knows I do my best, and it's still not that good, but she's better at it than I am. Do you know what I mean? Loving someone is more than just saying, I have feelings towards you. It is saying, I want my life to be pleasing to you. So what does a grateful love for God look like? Well, it is open. It is one that says, God, here my life is. Nothing hidden from you. Nothing hid back. It is expressive. It is pleasing. It is both private and it is public because I love the Lord. One of the things we have to be careful about is not thinking, I need to keep the way I feel about God private and all to myself because I don't want other people to know that much. That would be kind of like Judas saying to me, now, Jim, I love you, but look, we're going out in public together. And when we do, I want you to stay about 5 paces away from me because I don't want anybody to know the two of us are together. Now, I want you to understand, I love you. I just don't want to make it public. Ugh. And the same thing is true in our relationship and our love for the Lord. Yes, you have a private love for the Lord, but my goodness, be identified with him. Wherever you are, never be afraid or ashamed for people to know you belong to him. Because after all, you love him. It's open, it's expressive. It is both private and it is public. Not only that, Psalm 18 tells us this, and you can be grateful because he is absolutely trustworthy. Listen to what David said. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Wow. Boy, David is just pouring it out. In all the ways I can imagine, I can depend upon the Lord. He is always faithful. He is always trustworthy to me. Now, it's important to understand when David wrote this psalm. What was going on in his life? Well, he wrote this psalm during one of the most significant times of his life. His years of being an outlaw were finally over. For a long, long time, he had been on the run from King Saul and his soldiers. And now that time was coming to an end. No more hiding in caves. No more living in a dry and barren wilderness. No more exile from the people and the places that he loved. David wrote this psalm, and he was about to become the king. God had fulfilled his promises to David. And now he was saying, Lord, I trust you because you are absolutely trustworthy in my life. What David was experiencing was the same thing that the pilgrims celebrated on that first Thanksgiving. You remember what they had been going through in the time leading up to that first Thanksgiving banquet? They had arrived in a new country with all kinds of hopes and dreams, and had found themselves experiencing years of hardship. Many who had arrived in the new world had perished. But finally, in 1621, the corn was plentiful, the game was abundant. They had learned to live with hope. They looked back over those seasons of hardship, and they saw the fingerprints of a protective hand. And so they gave thanksgiving to God. David knew the Lord was trustworthy because he had learned to trust him in every situation. And so did those pilgrims. And so can you. I don't know what you've gone through this past year since last Thanksgiving. It may be for some of you, this past year has been a challenging year in your life. You faced difficult circumstances that you could not have anticipated this time last year. It may be that this past year has been one of the most rewarding and satisfying years of your life. It may be that some of the best things you could have imagined have happened to you over this past year. I don't know what this past year has been for you, but I do know this. If you were paying attention with a grateful heart, you discovered God was with you and he was trustworthy. And you've trusted him in a deeper way than you'd ever experienced. And you learn there's something you can depend upon, and it is the faithfulness of God. How did David say it? He said, he is your rock. He is a foundation that will never shift under your feet. And there are times when that's exactly what we need to know about the trustworthiness of God. We need to know he is a rock. And he's not going to shift, and he's not going to move, and he's not going to let you down. He is a rock. Not only that, he is your fortress, a place of refuge where you can run to and know that you are secure. Years ago, I was on a mission trip in Madrid, Spain, and one of the things I noticed about that city, it's in the middle of a desert area, and the city's just all crammed together, but if you look on the outskirts, it's very sparse and very empty. And I asked one of the folks in the church where I was serving, why does everybody cram in here into the city center, and nobody lives out there? Because I'm an American. If I were an American, I'd be thinking, man, I could build a house out there and have land and nobody right close to me, and it would be great. And you know what they said? They said it's because of our history. And the history of Europe is this. Don't live out there where you're exposed. Stay close to the castle. And he said, we're still that way. Stay close to where it's safe. He is our fortress. Stay close. He is the one that will protect you. Stay close. He is your refuge. You can run to him and know you are secure. And he is your deliverer. He steps in and actively works to save his own. In those times when we find ourselves in trouble, most of the time because we got ourselves there, the deliverer comes and he rescues his own. No wonder you can be thankful that you serve a trustworthy God. But not only that, you can be grateful for his protective hand. Because every day, whether you realize it or not, you are dependent upon the hand of God. Most unusual thing happened to me this morning. I got up to go out on the porch and do my Bible study and my preparation that I do every day. And I walked out there and guess what? It was daylight. Just yesterday, it was pitch dark. I had to go out and turn on a lamp so I could see to read. And today, it was daylight. Astounding. You know what I had to do with that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nobody ever said to me, "Would you like for it to be light or dark?" God takes care of that because he protects his own. We are dependent upon the hand of God, and he is in the business of caring for his own. This is David's testimony. He said, "My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." What did he say? "My God, he claimed me. I am his. My strength, he has upheld me when my strength was not enough. He is my shield. He protects me from anything that could harm me. He is the horn of my salvation. My hope is in him and in him alone. He is my stronghold, the one I run to when things get hard." All of these pictures describe a Lord who is actively involved in leading and protecting and providing for his own. Why am I thankful to a great God? Because he is constantly caring for me. And he is constantly there for you. Let me tell you why you can be thankful this year. Beyond all of the things that you have or the food that you've been provided for, you can be thankful because you are never out of his sight and you are never off of his mind. No wonder the 92nd Psalm declares, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Isn't that good? Your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. What's the Bible saying? The Bible is saying, because there's never a moment, never an instant, never a heartbeat when he's not there for you. And you can trust him. And because these things are true, genuine thanksgiving is a deeply personal response to the one who made you and knows you and protects you and saves you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing this morning. It is that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he didn't just make you and he didn't just protect you. He has this great desire, and it is that you spend eternity with him in his kingdom. And the only key is Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted him personally. Maybe you've never chosen to follow him. Today could be that day for you. If you're here and you don't know Christ, in a moment we're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If you'd like to know him, I'll be right here at the front. You come to me and I'll introduce you to Jesus. Or you find a member of our staff or any of these folks around you, and they'll introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you want to be a part of a fellowship where you can worship and be grateful to God, and you want to bring your membership here and just plant yourself in First Baptist. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God's Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let me invite you to be seated again for just a minute. John and Macy, y'all join me up here. If you've not met them yet, this is John and Macy Hurd. They moved to Birmingham from Jackson, Mississippi a while back. John is a resident at UAB Hospital. Macy works for the FBI, so she has her eye on you. No. We're glad that they've come to town. They came to be part of our church. They've been here for some time now. A lot of you have met them, and today they come because they want to become members of First Baptist Church. Now, they both come as believers, but John has not yet been baptized by immersion, so we'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks. But they come to say that they love the Lord. They love this church and what it means to them, and we're just so glad to have them. And if you want to say a special welcome to them and show that you're grateful for this decision, you just say amen.
Amen.
That sounded pretty good. Welcome. We're so glad that y'all are here. We are so looking forward to this and to having you all as part of our fellowship. And I'm going to invite Judith in just a minute to help them walk out to the lobby, and you can come by after we leave and just let them know how glad you are that they're going to be part of First Baptist Church. And we're excited about this very special decision. So let's stand again. And let's pray. And Judith, if you'll help John and Macy to make their way out, and you go by and let them know how excited you are that the Lord has brought them to First Baptist. So we'll pray, and then one final song, and our service will be ended. Father, we do thank you for these two who have come to be part of our church fellowship. Lord, we thank you for how they're settling themselves in as believers right here in Birmingham, and especially right here, Lord, at First Baptist. And Father, we pray your blessing on them, that we might bless them and they might bless us, but most of all, that together we might honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for a worship time that we've experienced today. We thank you, Father, that you truly are a great God, and you truly allow us to know you personally. And we trust you, and we depend upon you, and we love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.